Everyone. Yeah, shukayach to the host. So beautiful to be here and to be able to share a little bit of Torah in the middle of the day. So I want to share with you just what I think I've had. Is I don't have Myra Makomos for this year because it's a little bit drawing from a couple of different things. Good afternoon. So we're going to explore a little bit, just for the few minutes that we have, a little bit about the unique nature of Chanukah. Generally, when it comes to Chanukah, so the emphasis often is placed on the miracle of the Pach Shemen and the military victory. So remember again, in terms of mitzvos, ma'asios, in terms of actional mitzvos that we engage in, so clearly we light the menorah. In terms of the focus from a tefillah perspective, you know, the Gemara says that Chazal instituted these days lahodos ulahalal. It's very interesting to note that when the Gemara discusses the celebration of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, it's all about halal and hodah, yet the Gemara itself makes no mention of hadlakas neros, which is quite interesting. But I want to draw your attention to something a little bit different, which I think has to do with the panemius of the Yom Tov. So I'm going to begin with the Rambam. So the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, Rambam writes Hilchos Megillah and Hilchos Chanukah together in one section. So the Rambam writes, this is in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. And he writes, Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chavivihi Ad Ma'od. The Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a very special Mitzvah. V'tzarech Adam Lehizoher Bal, Kedei Lahodiyah Hanes, Ulahosif B'Shevach Hakel, Vahodaya Alanisim Shanaseh Bal. Person has to be very careful. Person has to be very meticulous and very medactic with the details of this mitzvah. So already the Lashon of the Rambam is quite intriguing. Because the Rambam says, and again, I apologize, you don't have this in front of you, but here the Rambam writes, Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, Mitzvahs Chavivahi Ad Ma'od. It's a very, very special mitzvah. Now you understand, of course, that the Yad HaChazok, the Mishnah Torah, so it's not a Musar Sefer, it's not a Hasidish Sefer, so the Mishnah Torah is a Halachic Sefer. Therefore, whatever the Rambam writes, his words are very medukdak. His words are very exact, and his words are very precise. The Rambam doesn't say anything that's extraneous or unnecessary. So this notion that mitzvahs ner Chanukah is chavivahi ad ma'od, it's very special, is very intriguing. On the most basic level, the Rambam doesn't write this by lulav and esrog. He doesn't write this by sukkah. He doesn't write it by tekiyah shofar. He doesn't write it by any other mitzvah that it's chavivahi ad ma'od. He only writes this by ner Chanukah. But it gets even stranger. The Rambam then says, afilu imo ma'yochal ela min hatzdaka, even if a person doesn't have anything to eat, person mamish being supported by charitable funds, shoel o mocher kesu sovel o keach shemen ben eres umadlik. He has to go out and take tzedakah, and he has to sell his clothing in order to be able to purchase oil or candles. So this is very strange in and of itself. What does this mean? First of all, there's a concept. The concept of onis rachmona patris. What does onis rachmona patris mean?
Can't do it,
you can't do it, right? At the end of the day, if there's extenuating circumstances, and those extenuating circumstances preclude mitzvah observance or performance, you're putter. So an exaggerated example, a person doesn't have arms, they're exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad. I don't have arms, I can't do the mitzvah. Person doesn't have money to buy a shofar, so there's no concept that I have to go ahead and sell the shirt off my back to go ahead and do the mitzvah of shofar. Person can't afford to buy a sukkah. There's no such concept like this that I have to sell the shirt off my back to go in and perform the mitzvah of sukkah. As important as mitzvahs are, person doesn't have, forget about all these other things, person doesn't have tefillin. Is there an obligation that I have to sell off my possessions to be able to purchase a pair of tefillin? Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that, but Pashtos Taloch is not. If I don't have the money, I don't have the nebuch, it's sad, I don't have the opportunity, but I don't have the obligation. Here the Rambam is saying that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, it's chavivahi ad ma'od, it's very special, and it's so special that literally, even if I have no money, I'm already living off tzedakah, I have to borrow more money, I have to go ahead and sell the shirt off my back in order to be able to secure oil or candles for Ner Chanukah. Now the truth is, the question on the Rambam is compounded. How is it compounded? What type of mitzvah is Ner Chanukah? It's a derabanan. So meaning, if you want to tell me that for the performance of a biblical mitzvah, I have to sell the shirt off my back, I have to go ahead and find the money somewhere, I hear it. That's a tzivui, it's a command of the Ribono Shel Olam. Oh, so the Magid Mishnah says, so the Magid Mishnah says, it's not such a kasha. He says, this is a din in Pirsumei Nisa. anything that has publicity associated with it, or is propelled to a different level of mitzvah observance. So he quotes exactly Barsha Kivanta. So that's how the Gemara says, that's the Mishnah Arvei Pesachim, that afilu animin atamchui, right? Even if somebody's being supported in the communal soup kitchen, he's got to go ahead and borrow whatever he needs to do to be able to provide for 4 cups of wine because of pure sumanis, publicity of the miracle.
Where's the makor for sumanis and
oh, so Barsha Kivanta, so Rav Soloveitchik discusses this, and the Rav says that it's a din of v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It's a din of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is presuming
Yisrael. That wasn't by Mitzorah?
I'm sorry?
By Mitzorah.
By Mitzorah is the makar that if you have problems, sarich lehodiyah la'achirim, that you should share your problems with others so they can daven for you. But the notion of pirsum hanes being a concept, being a halachic concept, it's an appendage of Kiddush Hashem. What's the problem with the
makar? Find it by Chris and McGill then?
Oh. So here's, oh, you guys are good. Right? So now again,
I forgot to warn you.
Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful. So this, here's the problem with the Magid Mishnah. So the Magid Mishnah wants to suggest that the reason why the Rambam says that you have to even sell the shirt off your back for Ner Chanukah is because it's a Dine Pirsumi Niso, it's a public miracle, and that's why that propels it to a different level. The Kasha on the Magid Mishnah is, what about Megillah? Megillah is also Pirsumi Niso, meaning let's say for argument's sake, a person davens a whole year in a basement. So that's a problem in and of itself. We'll save that for a different shiur. It should be part of a shul. Right? But leaving that aside, so let's say when it comes to Purim, so what's the halacha? If a person has a choice between davening in my basement minyan versus going to a shul, the halacha is, berov am hadras melech, you go to the shul. Let's say I can't afford a megillah. I don't have a megillah. Am I obligated to sell the shirt off my back to purchase a kosher megillah? What would you say? The halacha is no. The halacha is not like that. So there's the problem with the Magid Mishnah. Because the Magid Mishnah is telling me I have to sell the shirt off my back because it's a dinner persume nisa. But if it's a dinner persume nisa, publicity of the miracle, so then I would say every single thing that has persume nisa should require selling of the shirt off my back. Now it is true by 4 cups of wine by Dalet Kosos, and it is true by Ner Chanukah, but it's not true by Megillah.
By Megillah, not everybody's a bucky in reading a Megillah. To light a candle, anybody can light a candle. Or
let's say that Seaboard doesn't have a Megillah. Let's say there's a Balcor, okay. That Seaboard doesn't own a Megillah. Or for that matter, again, let me say it differently. Let's say I have no money. Am I obligated to sell my shirt to give Mishlach Manos or for Sudas Purim? Those are also Dinim Pursuming Nisa. Mm-hmm. And the Halach is no. The halacha is I have to try my best, that's an important mitzvah, but I don't have to sell the shirt off my back. See, even though the Magid Mishnah ventures to give us an answer to this, the answer, I mean, it's the Magid Mishnah, but the answer seems to fall a little bit short. Now, to just, so that's the kash we're going to try to understand in the few minutes that we have together, which is what's the nature of this mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. To compound the question a little bit, and I think this is very striking. You know, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos brings down, the Gemara says, mitzvah lahanicha b'soch asara. Now, this is a little bit different in our contemporary observance of the miracle. Remember, again, in the purest form, so the mitzvah Ner Chanukah is kindled outside of the home, to the entrance between your home and the public domain. So the Gemara says that you are supposed to place the Chanukah menorah within ten tefachim of the ground. So, okay, let's call it 3 feet, just for rounding purposes. So the menorah has to be placed. Now, again, remember, you can't put it flush on the ground. It has to be above 3 tefachim off the ground because of lavud. So you have to put it between 3 and 10. But really, the mitzvah min hamuvchar is to place the menorah less than 10 tefachim off the ground, within 3 feet. That's different. When you light inside, these halachos are all dramatically different. But in the purest form, you're lighting outside within 10 tefachim. So the Rush explains what's the logic behind it. It's actually a very interesting logic. The logic, says the Rush, is because, remember we say in Haneros Halalu, ve'ein lanu reshus lehishtamish bahen. We are not permitted to use the Ner Chanukah. This is very important. That's why, you know, as much as it creates a nice dramatic effect, if you light the candles and the lights are off in the room, halacha l'maaseh not allowed to do that, because the Neros Chanukah, it has to be clear that they're not for illumination purposes, but they're for mitzvah purposes. So the Rosh says something very interesting. The Rosh says, if you were kindling a light for illumination purposes, you would hang the light or put the light much higher so that it gives off more light. We place it within 10 tefachim to dafka show that it is not a light of illumination, but rather, again, it's a ner mitzvah. But there's another striking Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah says something beautiful. This is really amazing. The Gemara says, this is Daf Hamad Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Me'olam lo yarda shechina lamata, velo alu Moshe ve'eliyo lamarum. So Rabbi Yossi says, the Shechina never came down to the earth, And man, even Moshe the Anavi, never went up to the heavens. So the Gemara, so quotes the pasuk, Hashamayim Shamayim LaHashem, the Aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. God has the celestial sphere; we have the earthly sphere. So the Gemara says, really, the Shechina never came down to the earth. V'hoksev Vayered Hashem Ba'anan, Vayered Hashem Al Har Sinai. Yet the Torah explicitly says the Ribono Shel Olam came down to Har Sinai. So God did come down to the earth. To which the Gemara says, this is amazing, Lamala Me'asar Tvachim. So, right, so the Ribono Shel Olam comes down to the world, but he stops at 10 Tvachim. By the way, where does that shear come from, 10 Tvachim?
The
Arun. Right? Sukkah comes from the Sukkah, correct. Sukkah is a manifestation of the Arun. So the halach is, we know that the Kaporis, the Shechina was in between the Kruvim. Kruvim were perched on the lid of the Aron. The lid of the Aron was 10 tefachim off the ground. So the Shechina descends to that cherubic place, but it does not go below 10 tefachim. That's the idea. And therefore, again, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to Har Sinai, but not lematui from 10 tefachim, which is just interesting. So Rabbi Shalom comes to this world, but he doesn't become, like, for lack of a better, he's not shakua in this world. He will not become immersed in this world. So he'll come, but not below 10 tefachim. So it's striking that where are we placing our menorah? We're placing our menorah dafka below 10 tefachim. Right? Just a fascinating imagery over here. God comes until 10 tefachim, and yet again, my menorah is right below almost that divine threshold. So God stops here. Where God stops, right underneath that, is where Chazal are commanding me to go ahead and light my menorah. So what's the pshat? So I have to share with you something I think is... There's a lot to say on this, but because of time, I'll just share with you something very very beautiful. So it's a beautiful sefer called Be'er HaChaim. The Be'er HaChaim is written by the Lover Rebbe. So he says something quite beautiful over here. He quotes the Gemara in Meseches Beitza. And the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes, Kiddusha Shabbos Kviyahi V'Kaima. The Gemara says that Shabbos, the sanctity of Shabbos, is established, meaning, what does that mean? You don't have to do anything to create the Kiddusha of Shabbos. It comes by, we know this very well, on short winter Fridays, right? That no matter what you want or what you don't want, Shabbos is coming in at 4:25. So the idea of Shabbos is a divinely orchestrated sanctity that is independent of the involvement of man. So even if I choose to say it's not Shabbos this week, my statement makes absolutely no difference. Shabbos is Shabbos is Shabbos. On the other hand, she writes, "Va'af mibleishi kachu." I'm just reading this to you. "Va'af mibleishi kachu beizdin esah Shabbos hari mikudashas ve'omedas ve'ilu biyamtiv Yisrael kadoshinu lizmanin perish beizdin mikachim esah chodesh aydezen nikva yomtiv model." On the other hand, contrast that with yomtiv. Who establishes yomtiv? Beizdin. Now remember, beizdin establishes yomtiv by establishing the new month. Depending on whoever controls the calendar. Controls when Yom Tov falls out. That's why you see this, by the way, in the different verbiage for Kiddush for Shabbos versus Yom Tov. Right? So Kiddush for Shabbos ends how? Mekadesh HaShabbos. Who's Mekadesh HaShabbos? Baruch Atah Hashem. Right? Mekadesh HaShabbos. Ribono Shel Olam, you are the one who sanctifies Shabbos. Nothing to do with me. Again, I do my part. My role is to amplify the Kiddush of Shabbos, but the Kiddush of Shabbos ultimately remains. It occurs on its own. On the other hand, what's the concluding bracha for Kiddush on Yom Tov? Nekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. And the way we understand that bracha is Ribono Shel Olam vest Klal Yisrael with Kiddusha. And that Kiddusha, one of the ways it manifests itself in our ability to declare the new month. We declare the new month, and therefore, God vests us with the Kiddusha. We use that Kiddusha ultimately to sanctify time, calendar, and create Yom Tovim. Which, by the way, also interestingly enough, well, actually, let me read this. He says, V'nimtza. Shabbishah, listen to how beautiful this is. This is the Be'er HaChaim. He says that on Shabbos, Masmina Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachal Es Yisrael Eilav, Kedei Lahanos Miziv Kvodo, Shehari Hu Yisparach Shom Mekadesh Asayom Ni Yisrael, Ubiyamim Tovim Masminim Bnei Yisrael Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lavo Etzlam. This is so beautiful. So what happens? What's the difference in this dynamic? Shabbos is God's day. So what happens on Shabbos is God invites us to spend that day with Him. But that requires us to go to Him. That's why, how do we welcome Shabbos, right? Licha dodi, likras kala. Right? We say, if we want Shabbos, Ribono Shel Olam is inviting us to Him. Let's go out and greet God. Interestingly enough, licha dodi is not said on Yom Tov. Why? Because Yom Tov is not us going to God. Yom Tov is us inviting HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards us. Because again, if you think about it, different experience. Shabbos is God's day. He creates the Kiddusha. He says, I'm creating it. I'm inviting you to join me in this day. Yom Tov, we create that Kiddusha. And therefore, we're inviting God to come and join us. But listen to this. This is going to blow you away. See, quotes over here from the Divrei Chaim, from the Sanz Rav, who says, Tahani mili b'chol amadim v'azmanim. Let's analyze this for just a moment. So let's say Yom Tov, we invite God to join us. But even when you invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu to join you, remember again, where does the Ribono Shel Olam's acceptance of your invitation end? At what point? Ten Tfachim. So Moshe says, of course, I'm happy to come and join you. But I join you at the 10 tefach level. Me olam lo yarda shchina. Shchina doesn't go below 10 tefachim. So I'm coming to join you. So what that means is like this. What that means is that I'm inviting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to join me. But if Ribono Shel Olam is here, I might be here. I might only be at 4 tefachim. That's what I'm holding in life. That's fine. God is here. I need to find a way to meet him over here. That's my job. That's my avodah. Listen to this. So the Sanz Rav says, Tahani mili b'chol amadim v'azmanim. That's true with all the Yomim Tovim. However, Aval Nosef Aleihem Yimei Chanukah, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mevaker Es Bonav Ohavav B'soch Beis HaAsurim Shalahem. The Divrei Chaim says, you know what the power of Chanukah is? The power of Chanukah is that the Ribono Shel Olam comes to meet us wherever we are. Wherever I am in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to me. Ish ish b'soch nig'o u'machovav b'gashmios u'beruchnios. Rav Shalom comes to me, each person with his afflictions and his sicknesses and his challenges and his materialism and his spirituality. B'mekoman l'mata me'asara. He comes to meet me wherever I am, even if I'm holding l'mata me'asara. So now we begin to understand what Chazal were telling us. It's right. The Olam lo yard the Shechina lamata me'asara. The Shechina normally says, the only time I come, whenever I come to Israel, I'm happy to come here. You invite me fiyantiv, you invite me to Har Sinai, lamala me'asara, 10 tefachim and up, with one notable exception, and that's Chanukah. There's something about, there's a power of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, that the Ribono Shel Olam comes to us wherever we are. I might be only 3 tefachim off the ground, 4 tefachim off the ground, 5 tefachim off the ground, a very low level. And the rest of the year, if I'm that low, God will say, I'm going to meet you at 10, but you've got to make your way up. I say, this is an amazing idea. So, Elul, Dirshu Hashem Behimatso, God is incredibly available during Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Sarah Semechuba, Yom Kippur, but the Ribono Shel Olam is available at the 10 tefach level. I'm here. You don't need to climb that far, but just you got to get to 10 because I can't come down any lower. Chanukah, the greatness of the Divrei Chaim, is that the Ribono Shel Olam comes down even Lamata Miyut. Wherever we are in life, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to find us. And if you think about it, that this is the essence of Yom Tov, of Chanukah. What happens, you know, the Gemara says, my Chanukah. So how does the Gemara describe my Chanukah? My Chanukah is that the Chashmonim defeat the Greeks, they come back into the Beis HaMikdash, and what happens? Everything is defiled. There's this beautiful Mikdash, there's this beautiful Belvavi Mishkan Evna, there's this beautiful Beis HaMikdash, and everything is just so tame. Everything is just so spoiled. Everything is just so terribly messed up. And what happens? Chanukah is all about the need to rededicate the Mishkan. If you think about it, Chanukah is the story of the human condition. Because the truth is, each of us is a Beis HaMikdash. That's why we say, Bilvavi Mishkan Adna, each of us is a Beis HaMikdash. You know what happens over life? That Beis HaMikdash begins so pure, so pristine, so wonderful, so beautiful. And then what happens? You know, someone let the Greeks in. That's what happens. You know, all kinds of things go wrong. And the Shemen that used to be so pure and so pristine has now been defiled. The seals are broken. And the Mizbeach has been used for all kinds of things. And the menorah is not there. And the Aron's not there. And what Chanukah is a hischatshus to try to once again sanctify the Mikdash Ma'at, the Bilvavi Mishkan, of our lives, of our personalities. And the beautiful part says that the Divrei Chaim is, that the Ribono Shel Olam says, I want to help you with that. And I want to help you to such a degree that I'm going to come to you wherever you are. No matter how below, no matter how lemato meyud you may be, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to find you. And this is the godless of Chanukah. This is the greatness of Chanukah. And now you understand, by the way, if you go back to that Rambam, you understand why the Rambam says, by Ner Chanukah, that mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. Why does the Rambam use that? Rambam is a book of halacha. It's not a book of hashkafa. It's not a shmuz. But you understand why? Because the Ner Chanukah represents this idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to come and meet us wherever we are, even lamata miyud. And now you also understand why he says that no matter, even if you have to sell a shirt off your back, you have to be willing and ready to do that for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why? Because to a certain degree, the Rambam would say, there is nothing more important in our entire year than Ner Chanukah. Because during these 8 days, and only during these 8 days, the Ribbono Shel Olam decides to come lamata miyud. Such a privilege and such an opportunity like that cannot be passed by, cannot be overlooked, and cannot be minimized. Therefore, the Rambam says, whatever you have to do to be able to light that menorah, to kindle that light, lamata miyud, that kindling gives you such an important mindset that no one, because of their financial circumstances, could ever afford to miss out on it. And I think the avoda that it gives us something incredible. That's why, you know, you're reading all the svarim, that Chanukah is a time of rededication, that Chanukah is a time of hischashos, and often we think about the reason for that, it's because we're mimicking the historical realities. Our ancestors rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, so it's up to us to rededicate as well. But now we see, it's not just about mimicking a historical reality, so recognizing that there's something magnificent unfolding right in front of us now, which is that every single day for the remainder of Chanukah, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm coming to find you wherever you are. During the rest of the year, I have to find him. During these 8 days, he comes to find me. And the chiddush is that even if my life is in a place that it's lamata miyud tfachim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is still going to seek me out. It's an incredible day, incredible Eis Ratzon, incredible time of incredible, you know, there are things that we want to accomplish in life, and for whatever reason we don't, you know, often because it's not the right time. You know, you hear people say this, there's things, a lot of things I want to do, but it's not the right time. So you ask a person, so when is the right time going to be? I'm not sure, right? But all I know is that it's not now, right? Everyone knows that now is not the right time, but whenever the right time is, you know, you say, I'm going to start Tafiyomi, next Masechta, which Masechta? The next one. Do you mean the next one, like the next one, or the next one after the next one, right? I want to get involved in Chesed. When the kids get older. And then when the kids get older, I have more time with them, probably I get to spend time with my wife. And after, I was like, There are always excuses for not doing the things that we know we need to and we want to do. Whether it's kviyas itim l'torah, whether it's becoming serious about our learning, whether it's getting involved in chesed, whether it's whatever it is, the idea of Chanukah is it's a time to remake ourselves. It's a time to reforge ourselves. It's a time to be able to say, if the Ribbono Shel Olam cares enough about me to come and find me, even if I'm lamata miyud, it means that I'm someone special. It means that I'm someone significant. And it means that I have so much to accomplish. So we should be zochim, Meretz Hashem. First of all, the zechus, the krabi hashikoach. And we say, I'm always amazed at things like this. Baruch Hashem, my job is to teach Torah. So for me, I don't have to take off from work to come in to learn. Baruch Hashem. But for all of you professionals, it's an incredible, incredible thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu should just see an incredible avodah, even in a place that doesn't have to be filled with spirituality, because people often have a disconnect between their gashmius and their ruchnius. To bring ruchnius into the workplace, I think, is the greatest skula for bracha. I don't just mean bracha in terms of dollars. I mean bracha. Halabai, you should have that also. Right? But I mean bracha in terms of just quality of life. The recognition that life doesn't have to be an either or. It's not either gashmius or ruchnius, but the goal is to marry the two in a dramatic way. But in that sechus and the sechus of coming together, Talmud Torah v'Rabim is always beautiful. Halavai, we should be zochem Eretz Hashem to take advantage of these days when the Shechina is so close. We should be zochem Eretz Hashem to rededicate our personal Batei Mikdash. Halavai, we should be zochem to the Bayi Shlishim here, Rabbi Aminu. Amen.
Sounds like it's Shabbos then.
I'm sorry?
Sounds like it's Shabbos. So you have Yom Tov. We invite Hashem, it's only to the Sora.
Correct.
Hanukkah is the Matanah Sora. Shabbos.